The airlock hatch shut. The two ground crew scuttled about, hunched against the rain, unplugging the thick dark yellow ribbed hoses from their underbelly hatches. Compressors wound up, kicking out micro-squalls of the heavy rain. Their reedy sibilance built steadily until the space plane rocked on its undercarriage. It lifted into the murky sky. "My duty now is to warn you all. I will do what I can, what I must, to ensure this sense of eyes reaches you, so that you know he is coming. It is you who must fight him. I wish you luck. Those of us left here have our own battle against the calamity he has unleashed out in the hinterlands. It is not one for which we are well prepared. This is not a planet of epic heroes, just ordinary people like yourselves. As always, the burden falls upon those least able to shoulder it, for a terrible night has fallen on Lalonde, and I do not think we will see the dawn again." The space plane swooped up in a sharp climb, its wings beginning to fold back. It arrowed into the low, bulging cloud base and disappeared from view. A dozen paltry fires sputtered and hissed on the broad road outside the governor's dumper, the flames devouring fence posts and broken carts that had been snatched for fuel. Little knots of protesters clustered around them under the watchful eyes of the sheriffs and deputies circling the carbetanium cone. An uneasy truce had broken out after the anger and violence of the day. The earlier barrages of stones and bottles had been answered each time by cortical-jamming impulses from the sheriffs. Thankfully, the protesters had refrained from using any real weapons today. Now the chanting had stopped. The naked menace, in a thousand throats screaming in unison, wasn't something Colin Rexrue was accustomed to dealing with. He could never make out what they had been chanting for these last few days. He thought they weren't entirely sure themselves, apart from wanting the turmoil to end. Well, so did he, very badly. Each time Colin Rexrue looked out of his window, he could see some new plume of smoke rising from the vista of dark rooftops. Tonight the horizon was dotted with three or four fierce orange flares as buildings burned. If it wasn't for the rain and humidity, Durringham would have been reduced to a single giant firestorm days ago. And the deteriorating civic situation in the city wasn't even his real problem. When Candace Elford came into the office, Colin Rexrue was behind his desk as always, gazing vacantly at the window strip and the luckless city outside. Terence Smith gave her a fast, expressive grimace, and they both sat down. "I'm afraid I have now effectively lost control over a third of the city," she started. It was the nightly situation briefing, or the nightly crisis meeting, depending on how cynical Colin felt. The intensifying pressures seemed to make it hard to concentrate at the very times he needed his full mental resources. He would have given a lot to be able to run a stimulant program through his neural mnemonics, or even escape into an MF album for a few hours, like he used to in his adolescence. It would have made the strain a little easier to bear. Not even his neural mnemonics, with their top-of-the-range managerial programs, were much help. There were too many unaccountable, downright weird factors cropping up to apply standard responses. Had there ever been a Stage 1 colony governor who had lost all control of his planet? The memory cells held no record of any. What a way to go into the history books. "Is it the invaders?" he asked. "No. As far as we can make out, they're still some distance away. What we're dealing with here is mainly opportunist looting and some organized grabs for power. Nothing political, but there are some strong criminal gangs who have been quick to take advantage of the unrest. I'd point out that most of the districts my sheriffs are being excluded from are on the southeastern side of town. Those are the newest and poorest, in other words, the most disaffected to begin with. The heart of the city, and most importantly, the merchant and industrial sectors, remain stable. If nothing else, the older residents resent the lawlessness. I'm looking to recruit more deputies from them." "How long before you can start to regain control of the southeast districts?" Terence Smith asked. "At the moment I'm just looking to contain the trouble," Candace Elford said.
"You mean you can't?"
"I didn't say that, but it isn't going to be easy. The gangs have captured two dumpers and their fusion generators. We can't afford to damage them, and they know that. I lost a lot of good people in Ozark and on the Swithlin fiasco. Plus, we have to deal with the transient colonists. They seem to be the biggest problem right now. They're holed up in the docks, and I can't shift them.